Okay. Well, let's get started. How's my hair look?
Good.
Okay. Hi, my name is Chris Hollow.
And I'm Mark Mosery. And this is episode number one of Creativity in Motion, a podcast about creativity where we talk with creatives of all kind to find out why they create and especially how they overcome creative obstacles.
In this episode, we'll be talking about why it's so hard to start a new project, even when you're sure you have a really great idea.
Before we get started, we'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Nosy College of Art. Nosy College opened in 1973 as a fine art school and has transformed into Tennessee's only private art college. They offer bachelor's degree programs in commercial illustration, graphic design, video and film, and photography. Starting in September 2021, they will begin offering a brand new culinary arts associate's degree. They have a beautiful 55,000 square foot facility that was built with the artistic student in mind. It includes computer labs, production suites, photography and video studios, and a fully stocked equipment cage. Everything students need to get creative. To learn more about Nosy College of Art, you can visit nosy.edu, that's nossi.edu, where you can see degree program details, faculty information, and samples of student work.
Today, Mark and I are going to talk about just getting started, bringing your creative ideas to life. It sounds simple, but oftentimes just getting started is the hardest part of your project. So today, we're going to get to the bottom of it. So when was the last time you tried to start a project and kind of got stuck?
Well, today, right? This is episode one of our podcast. Right.
Classic example.
We've been talking about it for, you've been thinking about it for probably a solid 2 months. And we've been talking about getting it started in earnest probably for the last 3 weeks and taking small steps here and there to get us closer to starting. And of course, today we finally managed to sit down and start it. So that's obviously the most recent one. But you know, you and I start and abandon and finish projects all the time. So I had a project around Christmas time that I've been trying to do for the last 4 years, and I finally did it this year. And the reason I couldn't get started was I just kept forgetting to start in time to have those items ready to give at Christmas. And I find that there are any number of reasons that prevent me from getting started, not the least of which is just occasionally my own absent-mindedness about the fact that I have this thing that I want to start on.
Yeah, I find that a lot of times it's a matter of timing. I like calendars, like you were just referencing, and if I have the idea sometimes comes at an inopportune moment where it's November and you're trying to pull a calendar together and you think, I can't do that. There's no way. It's just not going to work. I have to figure out a way to have this idea in March, or this idea might be good for the next year's calendar. You know, timing sometimes is off, and that happens to me a lot. You can't control when the ideas pop in your head, and when they do, sometimes it's the timing is not right.
I think that, the most damaging, sometimes the most damaging thought is simply, well, I've got plenty of time before I need to start that. Say, like today we're recording this, it's in early February, and you might have an idea that's going to be perfect for May or June or July, right? Something you want to execute this summer. And you think, oh, it's February, I don't have to really turn my attention to this in earnest until probably April, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's the most fatal mistake, because you put that in a category in your mind of things to do later. And well, we all know what happens to that category of things.
I like forms. I'm into, kind of into forms. And I actually have a file folder full of, it's an idea form. And that just, it has kind of the basic, it's just a couple of words and lines. You fill in the date of the idea, what the idea is called, what it involves, who it involves, what you got to do to get ready. And then you can just get it out of your head. And then the idea is, it's not executed, obviously, but it's documented. Because a lot of times my ideas come in the middle of the night or I'm in the middle of something and I can't. So all I have to do is keep the idea in my head long enough to write it down. And then I have a folder full of those ideas. And that way you kind of don't lose them. You can always revisit them later. And, you know, you go back and you look at an idea and you think, well, that's a horrible idea. Or you look back on it and you think, I should really revisit that. That's not a bad idea. I should see that one through.
Yeah, I think everybody can relate to the idea or the phenomenon of having an idea and just having the timing be off. I think, I mean, when you and I first started talking about this idea for a podcast episode, the things that most interested us and still do are the little psychological games that we play with ourselves that wind up preventing us from starting the project. You know, little, small, seemingly insignificant things that become major obstacles to starting a project. That whole phenomenon I find very interesting and frustrating.
Well, a lot of times they're self-inflicted delays. You know, I mean, if it's the wrong time of season, or the person you want to interview is not available, or the camera you want to do it on is not available, and that's also a BS reason to not start, right? Like, in this, let's talk about the podcast, right? So we're sitting in my studio. We're sitting around a 2x4-foot wire shelf that I've converted into a desk that has the podcast equipment on it, and it required a piece of wood to kind of make this wire shelving work as a desk. I wanted to put all this stuff on this desk and organize it and get it ready to go to do these podcasts, but I wasn't satisfied with the varnish, the finish that I put on this piece of wood that I got from Home Depot to make the desk. So I was wanting to put one more coat of varnish on this desk. I can't do it yet because the varnish isn't right on this desk. And then I need to wait a couple of days for the varnish to harden, because if I don't, the stuff I put on the desk will eventually stick to it. So I invented this idiotic idea all on my own, unintentionally, that I can't start yet because the varnish isn't right on this piece of wood on this desk. And when it dawned on me that that's what I was doing, I just laughed, because what an idiotic thing. I mean, I could be doing this on cinder blocks or on the floor, or there are a million other ways I could be doing this and not postponing it. But I was actually briefly considering, well, I can't do it today because I need to put another coat of varnish on this. And then the next day I'll be like, yeah, I'm still seeing some pits. I should probably put another coat of varnish. It's like, when is there enough varnish on the desk to enable you to begin? And I was putting up roadblocks, and I don't know why.
Well, if this podcast sounds good, it's because you finally have the right amount of varnish on the piece of plywood.
That's right.
That's underneath the podcasting equipment. And so if there's a nice, rich, warm tone in the audio for this podcast, you know, obviously it would have sounded terrible with one less coat of varnish.
Yeah. If I had quit at 8, this would not be a success at all.
No, that's right. That's right.
One more sanding.
One more coat. Yes, just one more coat, one more round of sanding.
Yeah,
I think, you know, another thing we were talking about with regards to this podcast, and I think podcasts are probably a perfect example of a project that a lot of people have been thinking about lately, and for whatever reason, haven't been able to get it off the ground in this era of COVID. You and I were talking about what kind of guests would we like to have on here. Well, let's assemble a list of guests. And while we're at it, why don't we just make a list of topics that we want to talk about? This is a podcast about creativity, but how many different ways can you talk about creativity? Before we wade into that water, we better list everything out that we feel like we can talk about. And that's an excellent idea if your goal is to not start your podcast. And that's what we did. And, you know, fortunately, we were able to continue after that. Like, okay, we got the list made. We got the other list made. We got the varnish on. You know, let's do it today. Well, let's go have lunch first. Okay, we'll go have lunch first. And then, okay, we've had lunch. We've got our list made. We've got our varnish on here. By golly, there's only one thing left to do.
Let's just do it.
Let's just do it. Right? Let's just do it. But we get questions all the time. I know I do, and I know, Chris, you do too, from people who say, I've got this great idea for a photo that I want to do, or I've got this great idea for, you know, a project, a video, a book, and or a song. They'll tell you that for 2 years, you know, and you'll say, why haven't you started that yet? You know, you're still working on that. Why haven't you started that yet? It's just everybody has their own obstacles that they create. Why do you think, do you have any thoughts about sort of like one overriding reason that you could say or maybe point your finger at why people won't just take that step?
It's got to be fear, right? When we're doing things that are creative, you're kind of putting yourself out there for people to judge, right? And if you're working on something and if the beginning of doing that thing will eventually lead to an end to that thing that you then have to put out in public to be judged, then it's hard. It's like that's why I think people subconsciously put up barriers to starting.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fear. It's probably just that simple, basic thing. You're afraid that people won't like your idea, or people won't, quote, get it. Or actually, I know a lot of times I'm afraid that I won't like the idea that I've spent so much time obsessing over, and perhaps even money spent purchasing things in preparation for it. And I could easily list, you know, 5 or 6 things that I was certain were going to be fantastic. And when I tried them or I did them, not so fantastic.
Well, give us an example of one.
I can remember years ago, I had an example I had an idea about making a photo. There were these 3 ladies that I knew who were sisters. And occasionally they would all be together and we would all be together, maybe having a meal or something. It didn't happen very often because they lived in different areas. But I noticed at one point that their hands were all very similar. And they all sort of more or less had same size hands. And it was very interesting, even though they were different ages. And I thought, well, it'd be great if I could make this photo of these 6 hands. And it would just look, it'd be an interesting photo to kind of tie them together. And I had this idea in my mind. I knew exactly how I wanted to compose the photo. I knew how I wanted to light it. And I made a big sort of deal out of getting them together. This was after probably months of thinking about it. And I thought, let's do this. So I got them all positioned. I figured out, you know, got their hands arranged in front of the camera exactly the way that I knew it would look great. And I was at the time shooting on a large format camera, which is, you know, very slow and cumbersome. And so they had to hold their hands in position. And I got the lighting just right. And I took a picture on some instant film so that I could kind of preview what it was going to look like. And when I peeled that instant photo, you know, apart and took a look at it, it was exactly like I had set it up in the camera, and the lighting was exactly like I thought it was going to look. And the idea itself was very much alive in that photo. But I looked at that photo and I thought, oh my God, that is just terrible. Like that is a terrible photo. It doesn't convey anything. It says nothing about these people. It doesn't even tie them together as siblings. And I didn't even show them the photo. The one little instant photo, I looked at it and I thought, that's terrible. And I said, never mind. And they looked at me like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, never mind. That's a bad idea. And then they dispersed. And then I just took the equipment down, packed it up and put it away and went over to my checklist and put a check mark next to that and thought, okay, that's done. Let's move on. And it became clear to me that that idea was just something that I had to do for myself. I got to get past that so I can get on to the next creative idea, which may or may not be good. And who knows how long it'll take me to start that one.
Well, so In that, that's a great story. In that instance, though, I'm guessing you don't regret the exercise.
That's because that's what it turned into. It turned into a creative exercise. It turned into a lesson that I have since applied many times. Unfortunately, that's a lesson that you can't really learn, because the moral of that lesson is to start the project and do the project. And if it is indeed something that you're not happy with, or if it's something that you quickly realize that other people aren't going to like either, then it might seem like a bad thing, but it's actually a very good thing, because you've put that issue to rest. And now whatever creative energy you were using, turns out that you were wasting on this idea that wasn't really very good, then you can spend that time and that money and that energy thinking about the next thing. I mean, you and I talk a lot about ideas, and the thing that wasn't good was the picture. It was the picture that wasn't good. I still think the idea is good, but as the idea was executed in that photo, it wasn't good. So it could be that just a photo of those hands is a bad idea, and what might be better is an oil painting of something like that, or a pencil drawing, or an abstract kind of sculpture reflecting that idea. But as that idea was executed in photography, not so good. By me, another photographer might another photographer might be able to turn that into something. It just wasn't me on that day.
But I'm guessing you wouldn't call that a waste of time.
I wouldn't call that a waste of time, no. And a bit of an illustration of the old question, is it the destination or is it the journey, right? Because I was certain that that idea was all about the destination of getting the photo created. And what the real value of that experience ended up being the journey, and realizing that not only was the destination not the goal, the destination wasn't even there. And so the journey became the most important part of that experience, a journey that has since been repeated many, many times over other ideas.
What about ideas that you came up with an idea, but the idea was too late, and it's not necessarily your fault? You thought of the idea as a result of hearing about something that you discovered it's just too late. I've got, I guess, two examples, and both of them are sort of documentary type projects. You know, the corner of Haywood Lane and Harding, back to Cuba, and there's like four or five shops in there that's joins a MAPCO.
Right. Trousdale and Harding.
Trousdale. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't know when that was, November, a news article said that MAPCO gave all of them 30 days notice to get out of those buildings because they're going to consume that whole street corner. And to me, that was like, oh man, that's a great opportunity to go and talk to all these vendors in the donut shop and all these people who are small business people who English might not be their first language, and, you know, just a really rich opportunity to talk to people about that sort of thing. So I thought, that's a documentary project. And it was one that I realized I didn't have the time for necessarily. But I still like the idea. And the reason I thought of it is because I just drove by there the other day and it's fenced in. Like it's underway.
It's a done deal.
Yeah. Another example, I was photographing a model for some clothing for a client. And at the end of the shoot, she just casually mentions that the next time you see me, I will have had breast implants. And I'm like, oh, wow, well, that's interesting. And I was thinking, you know, that's interesting, right? I didn't have a story or anything to do with it. And I said, if you want to do like before and after, we sort of have before now. If you want to come in after and do a similar kind of a thing to do before and after, we can do that. Well, she came in after, and we shot a similar image to what we'd done before. And that's when she told me that the doctor who did her breast implants also did her mother's and her grandmother's. Like, you're telling me this now? Are you kidding me? Like that becomes a story.
That's a much more interesting,
much more
cultural story. Yes. Than just one person's journey.
Yeah. So it was a story that I missed out on because I didn't know it was a story at the time until I found out later that that's a thing. Why did you not tell me that? You do not realize that's a thing?
Yeah.
It never occurred to her. that would have been an interesting story to tell. And I don't know whether it would have been a photo shoot or a documentary through the process, you know, like her mom goes with her to the consult or whatever. And then you reveal that the grandmother also had the same doctor. Like that to me, I thought was really interesting, but it went nowhere because I got the idea too late.
So you couldn't start it. Mm-hmm. Really, you were prevented from starting it because it should have started months ago.
Yeah.
Or weeks ago. And the same with the small businesses being sort of forced out of business at the, you know, at the hands of a larger corporation, because the real story there, the real beginning of that was probably a year ago when you could have gone in and established sort of the personality of each of these businesses and developed some character a little bit and really told a much richer story. And by the time you learn about it, on the eve of them being booted out of their space, there's not enough time to set it up the way that you want.
Right. Then it becomes a news story, which, you know, Channel 5 or whoever covered that adequately. But yeah, it could have been a cool story. Both of them could have been cool stories or could have been cool projects. And neither of them ended up being possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are the true obstacles, you know, to starting something, such as maybe you need to get permissions from certain people and you have a hard time tracking these people down. Mm-hmm. And the sort of bureaucratic red tape of officially starting your project is such a slow progress and slow process that you start to lose interest in it, or the timeliness of the idea starts to pass and it just ends up sort of falling by the wayside, you know, for things like that. But I think the most kind of nefarious and and devious reasons for not starting are those that we manufacture ourselves.
The self-inflicted.
Yeah, the varnish or the lists or,
yeah.
You know, I know a lot of photographers who say, I would love to go make this photo, or I'd love to do a photo project about this subject, but I don't have the right gear. I need a camera that can do X, Y, and Z, and my camera can't do that. Or I need this kind of light, or I need something. It can only be done in this, you know, geographic region, whether that's true or not. And they've convinced themselves that it can only be done one certain way. And the truth is, by the time most projects are executed and completed, they're usually done in a way that you could not have imagined completing it. Like if you had a plan for how the project was going to go all the way to completion, and then you actually do the project and you look at how it really went, it probably went nothing like your plan.
Uh-huh.
So the most important thing is to just get started.
Yeah.
Just get started on it.
Yeah. The version one of everything sucks. This probably sucks.
Yeah.
this is probably terrible.
This is dry. I'm always sitting here going, wow, this is too cerebral. This is too canned. This is too.
Yeah. In doing podcast research, I've been going back to people's first, like that have hundreds of podcasts. And I listen to the first one, you know, or watch the pilot of a TV show. And you can see clearly that the actors weren't as good. The budget wasn't there. In the podcast, they were just rambling, you know. So everything develops over time, but you still have to start. You just have to start. I'm a fan of, like, you and I worked on a 12-episode web series in 2013. And there have been several projects that I've started, that's one of them included, where I announced I was doing it publicly before I started.
As a strategy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know the idea is too good to not do. So it forces me to do it. Like if I go public and say, I'm doing a podcast and then I don't, that's terrible. That's lame, right? Like I need to follow through with, it bothers me when people don't follow through with what they say they're going
to
do.
So you put it out there in the public, you sort of say to people, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing this. And you build excitement and anticipation for that. And you let the excitement and anticipation of other people pull you, almost like it pulls you into the project because you've made a promise that you now have to keep.
And to some degree, it's maybe a little bit of I throw the idea out, I'm going to do this so that I give people the chance to say, that's a horrible idea. Six hands in a photo, that's lame. And then talk me out of it. But I usually know it's too good to not do. So I'm pretty stubborn in that regard. I'm going to do it. It's too good not to do. I'm just making it public so that I'm motivated to actually start.
I think that becomes a good strategy for actually starting is if you have a group of friends or you have one or two people whose opinions you value, then you can say to them, you don't have to go to them and say, I'm going to do this. You could go to them and say, you know what? I have this idea and I'm kind of batting it around, trying to flesh it out a little bit. Let me bounce it off of you guys and see what you think. And if you think it's a good idea, you think it's a bad idea, you can help me maybe see some things that I can't see, and you trust those people, then that becomes a really good way for you to build your confidence about starting this thing. And, you know, with their sort of endorsement, that can be something that you can do much more easily. It's like, okay, these two people or this guy who's opinion means a lot to me thinks this is a great thing. And I know that now he's very much looking forward to seeing what I do. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So I think if you can set that up for yourself and if you know, that's a great thing. And if you don't have people like that in your life, peers and people that, whose opinions you value, then maybe that's a good place for you to start, which is to cultivate that kind of camaraderie and those kinds of colleagues so that you can share these ideas and use each other's energy to further your own sort of creative projects and build your portfolio and make a name for yourself that way.
But you got to make sure that you ask the right people, because when you ask your mom, everything is awesome, right? So you have to ask people that you think will give you the straight answer and tell you, that's a horrible idea.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I wouldn't ask my mom.
Right.
Right. You know, and that's why there needs to be people whose opinions you value, yeah. People in the field, maybe.
And especially, I mean, if you have an interesting idea or you think it's interesting and you ask somebody outside of that field, that genre, then they really have to like it. Like if you're talking about making a short film about homelessness or something, but there's a twist to it, right? And you ask somebody who is not in the field at all, if they can understand where you're going and if they think, well, that's a cool idea, I'd watch that. That's good, right? And then also you ask a filmmaker friend who knows the business and who knows what's good and what's bad. If they're being honest with you, then that's all the better.
That's all the better. And sometimes that honesty can be hard to hear. If it's someone who's really being honest with
you, it'll save you some time.
It will save you a lot of time. And, you know, understanding how to receive that honesty is an important, you know, part of it. And it's in fact an important part of the process, the creative process, because you've actually already been your own devil's advocate as you formulated this idea, as you weigh the decision, is this a good idea? Is this not a good idea? Here's why I want to do it. Yes, but here are the problems. Here are the obstacles. You've already participated in that activity. So what you need to do is expand it a little bit, bring someone else in and trust them the same way that you've trusted yourself to, you know, give you a counterpoint to that.
Yeah, I know you've taught portfolio classes before. Being photography creatives, both of us, we've had to put together portfolios. We don't do it so much anymore, but physical portfolios. But when you're putting together images that mean something to you, sometimes it means something to you because of the experience you had while creating it. And if that doesn't get through to the person viewing it, it makes no difference. So a lot of times you're not your own best judge of what is good.
Because you're too close to it.
Yeah, you have to have somebody else tell you, you know, of these five, these are your strong four. Or that idea is okay, but what if you did this and help you expand your idea into something different?
It's a balancing act, right? It's a balancing act. And then at some point, you get over the hump and you say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm starting. We're doing episode one today, mm-hmm. right? And Well, like it or not, this is episode one.
Yeah, for better or worse.
For better or worse, this is episode one. Yeah. And, you know, in 3 years, we'll go back and listen to episode one, and we're only going to be able to listen to the first 15 seconds of it. We're going to go turn that shit off, right?
The music was bad.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I can see what we were trying to do.
Right.
It was just, you know, we're a year or two from having a fully mature podcast now.
Right.
Although I assure you that second episode is going to be really good.
Oh yeah.
but yeah, I think that balancing act is really tough, and knowing, you know, I think in general, if you've woken up with this idea in your head every day for the last month and you just can't shake it, it could be that you have this great idea, but it could also be that this idea has you.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not going to be able to get past it until you take the picture of those hands, right? Or until you try that thing in the kitchen that you're sure is going to taste really, really good. And you just have to go through that exercise of getting past it.
To me, that's the benefit of taking these ideas that you have all throughout the day, or when you wake up in the middle of the night with it, which happens to me a lot, and writing it down, you know, onto sort of a basic form, which we can put in the show notes. It's really basic, but, you know, a form to keep track of your ideas. Just the fact that you got it on paper and you've archived it, you can let it go. Like you said, whether the idea has you or you have it, you have it, and then you process it for a bit, and then you describe it and put it away, and then it's not lost. It's just off your shoulders for now. And then some ideas are, you just can't let go of it. Writing it down doesn't help. You just have to keep moving. And this is one of them. As I said, I tend to have ideas middle of the night, and 2:30 in the morning around December 20th, this one popped in my head. And I had been trying for a year or more, probably two, to do basically this, but in video form with creatives. I've always liked the idea of creativity and how different people create. And I've had this idea off and on for years.
In various forms and fashions.
Mostly in video. I always envisioned it being a video, something you put on YouTube or Vimeo. And 2:30 in the morning on December 20th or so, I woke up and I was like, holy hell, that's a podcast. Why don't I just do a podcast? Especially with COVID and where it's hard to get people in front of you these days. Like, why can't I do this over the phone? And why this idea on creativity should be a podcast? And that's when I realized that's when it fully became clear what this is.
What were the obstacles that you created for yourself, or that we created for ourselves, in getting to this first episode? How many were there? We've talked about the varnish. I'm sure there's more than that.
Equipment. I mean, you and I both tend to buy and not rent. So having all the right gear to start, reading up on podcasting, listening to podcasts, researching how other people do it, coming up with lists of potential guests, outlining what the show should be and how it should be. I mean, who's to say that we don't change the music next time? The way that you start the first episode doesn't necessarily have to be the way you do the 100th episode.
No, it won't right? be.
It won't be. You can, and if you give yourself permission to make those changes, then it'll help you get started faster. If you go into it thinking it has to be exactly the way it's going to be for the next 100 years, that's like choosing a paint color, right? I mean, you would go insane if you didn't allow yourself the opportunity or the knowledge that you could repaint it. You would never paint anything.
Right.
You'd be afraid to put... It's a bit like tattooing, but even that you can cover, you can modify, you can erase nowadays. So
what about the name for the podcast?
Yeah, that's funny. So you and I are co-owners of a production company. We do a lot of filmmaking and client work. And I had come up with the name of the company and then like a tagline, Creativity in Motion. And I had spent, weeks trying to think of a good name for this podcast. And I did the research on other people's names and how they came up with names for their podcast. And, you know, keep it simple and don't make it. And it's not about building a brand for me personally. So it's not about my name as part of the title. And I just was making lists and lists and lists. And it wasn't until you said, why don't we just call it Creativity in Motion, which I had thought of a year ago as the tagline for the company. It never occurred to me.
Right there in front of us.
It was right there in front of us. And I struggled with what to call this podcast. And I was using that as a reason to not start. That was an obstacle I put in front of myself that I can't, I mean, how can you start a podcast without naming it something?
Right? Yeah. I think about other projects, like, you know, there was a famous movie in the 80s called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That just sounds like a working title. You know, right. Like, what are we going to call this film? Well, what are the two guys named, Bill and Ted? And like, okay, this is go on an excellent adventure. So yeah. We'll just call this Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And you're like, well, yeah, that ends up being a great title.
Crazy Rich Asians is the same for me.
It's Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah.
Let's do a story about some crazy rich Asians. Yeah, what are we going to call it?
Yeah. What are we going to call it? I don't know. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's like, just call it what it is.
Right.
You know?
And ultimately, I could have chosen any of 10 of my favorite things and we could have called it that. And I could have been, you know what? That's good enough. Let's keep moving. Let's not let that be the reason we don't start.
Yeah. And I think that's a mindset too. Once you realize that this is going to happen, then the little obstacles that you've created for yourself start to fall away with hardly any effort at all. Just like, okay, varnish, whatever. You know,
yeah.
The name of the podcast, fine, that's good. Like, we have to do this.
Right.
We got to do it now.
Treat it like it's a trip to Disney World. You know, I need to get an oil change. I need to get new tires. I don't have the right playlist yet for the road trip.
Right.
You know,
we don't have our hotel yet.
I've got 10 pounds to lose.
Yeah.
I can't find the right sunscreen. Exactly. I'm waiting on Amazon to deliver this or that.
What's the weather going to be like?
It's like you're missing out on the good stuff by putting up roadblocks. So you wear so you wear the wrong shoes to Disney World. You still went to fucking Disney World.
Exactly. And you have a great story about how you walked around the Magic Kingdom in the wrong kind of sandals.
With blisters.
Yeah, with blisters.
So what? You went to Disney World. It was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta do it. And it's okay. There's a sense that if you're properly prepared and you have all of your expectations organized, that you're not going to have any sort of nervousness or you'll be completely ready to get started. The truth is, you'll always be nervous. There will always be some degree of uncertainty. And it's in those areas, in that little part of the experience, is where it will come alive, right? It's that last little bit of unknown kind of thing, right? We're going to have a guest on next week in our second episode, and we're preparing questions for him. And you know, but there's no way that interview is going to go, or that episode is going to go exactly like we think it is. And it's in those areas of uncertainty that the life will get breathed into that episode or your project, whatever it is. Let the uncertainty be there, because that's going to end up being that's going to be the kernel of the thing.
Mm-hmm. I can guarantee there are going to be more. We're going to put up more roadblocks along the way. You know, we can't do this because we can't do that because we don't have the book on podcasting yet. It hasn't been delivered. We will still continue to put up roadblocks. And one of the things I know we want to do is to take the podcast on the road. Like, we want to go on the road and interview people that we don't even know sometimes. And maybe if we pick an interesting location and we just find creative people and ask them if they'd be willing to be on the podcast. And, you know, we can't do that until we figure out where we're going to go. We can't do that until we have hotels. We can't do that until we have the money. We can't do that, you know.
Until the calendar's clear.
Yeah. We'll continue to put up obstacles. We just have to know which ones to ignore. Which ones to hurdle.
Which is all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's like, I mean, the person running the hurdles, you know, that all of them complete the race regardless of how many hurdles they knock over.
Right.
You know? So what, you knocked a hurdle over. You can still not only finish the race, you can probably still even win it. It's not about that.
Uh-huh.
It's about crossing the finish line. if you're battered and you're bloodied and you're scarred for life, you did an amazing thing.
Right. You'll have a good story to tell.
Yeah. You'll have a great story and you'll have a product.
Yeah.
You'll have a thing.
Yeah. Well, what I think is an ancient Chinese proverb about, you know, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? 20 years ago.
Exactly.
When's the next best time?
Today.
So just plant the damn oak tree.
Yeah. Put it in the ground and your shovel will be able to dig the hole.
I don't have the right shovel. I can't.
I guarantee you, Chris, that your shovel will work.
Is adequate?
Yes.
I don't even know where to put it.
That's okay.
Just put it somewhere. Today.
The ground's too hard. Yeah. The ground isn't.
Yeah.
Your shovel's harder than the ground.
Yeah. Just do it today.
Yes.
Well, that's what we're doing.
That's right.
Cheers to us.
Cheers to us. That's right.
Well, I think this has been a pretty good first episode. What do you think?
I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. We can move on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, the idea, of course, is that we'll be bringing these to you every couple of weeks or so, talking with people who are either professional creatives or people who engage in the practice of creativity in a variety of ways. And perhaps many of them will be in unexpected ways. You know, Chris and I together have been creative professionals for over 60 years. And it's hard to believe that that's true and that we've made a go of it for that long. But I'll speak for myself. I realized a long time ago that that was the life that I wanted. And true to form, I've had to be very creative to keep it going for 30 plus years.
Yeah, for sure. It's not for everybody the way we do it. But yeah, being creative, that was really the only option for me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can follow Penumbra Entertainment on Instagram and Facebook. You can visit our website. We'll have a transcript of the show. If not a transcript, we'll have some links and some other information. I'll put that that idea form up for everybody. You can download it. And hopefully we'll get a couple of these in the can, and in a couple of weeks we'll release another one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so.
Do you want to do our impulse buys?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so at the end of each show, we'll try to talk to our guests and you and I buy stuff all the time. So like, what is our most recent impulse buy?
My most recent impulse buy, I can't even explain it, but I purchased music. Like, who does that in the age of Spotify and streaming? Well, I do, apparently. I purchased the Monkees' Greatest Hits.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Was I even an owner of any of the Monkees' music before that? No.
Didn't one of the Monkees pass away recently? Or what jogged that purchase?
The stupidest thing. my wife and I have a cat, and sometimes we call him Detective Munch based on the Law and Order mm-hmm. character. We just call him Munch for short. And I started singing, "Hey, hey, you're the Munchie." And then I started singing, "Hey, hey, you're the Munchie."
Mm-hmm.
People say you're
hanging around.
And I was like, then I got that song stuck in my head and I thought, that's weird. I'm gonna go put that song on. So I just played like the minute and 30 second preview, you know, on iTunes. And I thought, that's kind of a fun song, actually. People who purchased this song also purchased, right? Oh, there's the Monkees' Greatest Hits. And then I started listening to them. I'm like, well, that's some pretty good songs in there. Yeah. What was $11.99? It's
right.
Like $11.99. I filled my Monkees' hole in my iTunes catalog.
Right.
It's like, okay, there you go.
Very good.
What was yours?
Mine was probably, I mean, I've made purchases since then, but the most kind of frivolous, just crazy. I decided I wanted to learn how to weld aluminum.
Many people.
Well, of course, yeah. So I actually have a use for it, I think. We'll see if it works, if I can do what I want to do. But I bought like a really overpriced automatic starting propane torch head so that I can, you screw it onto like a map gas cylinder and you just push a button and poof, you've got, it's, you don't have to light it. It lights itself, stays on, stays hot. And I probably spent too much money on this little fuel container automatic starting thing. But it was, you know, I wanted to learn how to weld aluminum, so.
And now you can.
Well, technically I can.
The impulse buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brought to you by.
That's right. Home Depot.
Home Depot.
And Apple. iTunes.
And
Apple.
And, of course, the podcast Creativity in Motion.
That's right. Well, we'd like to thank our sponsor, NOCI, College of Art and Design. We hope you'll all take a moment to go check out their website and see what they have to offer. I think that's kind of cool. They're having a new degree program soon, Culinary Associates program. That's kind of cool.
Absolutely. Chris, people want to read more about us online. Where they find you?
You can find me personally on Instagram, Chris Hollow, at Chris Hollow. I don't do Twitter. Not really excited about Twitter. Facebook, I can be found pretty easily. And if you want to find our company, that would be Penumbra Films on Instagram. And our website is penumbra-ent.com. How about you?
Probably the best place to find me is at my website, masrifotography.com. On there, you'll find a link to a Vimeo page if you want to look at some videos. But most of those videos are on the Penumbra site anyway. So Penumbra-ent is probably the best place to find out about us and also about this podcast, Creativity in Motion, and other things that we might have going on.
Cool. Well, we'll have another one of these in a couple of weeks. Meanwhile, don't forget, you don't need a reason to be creative.